Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
A high priest of the good things to come, meaning there are things to come. You know, there's coming a day when everything that we know as planet Earth right now is going to change. Good things are going to come. Now, maybe you think good things are coming now, the good things, this stuff pales in comparison. I'm talking about good things that there is no sorrow, there is no disappointment, there is no sin. They're not those who hurt others. They're not liars. I mean, good things are coming. There's coming a day when everything will change, and we're going to talk about those things.
Perhaps you're on a mountaintop right now. You may be enjoying the best of what this life has to offer, both on a material level as well as a spiritual one. That's wonderful, and I hope it continues, but it can't last in the flesh. You live in a broken world, and sooner or later, it catches up with all of us. As Pastor Troy continues our exploration of the book of Hebrews in today's message, we'll take a close look at the good and bad things that are to come in this world as it approaches its conclusion. Now here's Pastor Troy in Hebrews chapter 9 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
All right, we are in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 15. And we have been talking a long time about Jesus as the high priest, Jesus as the sacrifice, Jesus as the tabernacle. We've seen that Jesus is everything. And so today we're going to take the same information because he's really making sure they understand this. And we're going to bring out a concept here that we should be getting as we look at this text. And that is that we have an open invitation to heaven. Because of who Jesus is, because he is the fulfillment, because the old has done away with, and because we're living in the time period of the new, it's not just a certain people group that he selected that he's going to start trying to build and become a light in the world. Now he's called the whole world to himself. And this is a really privileged time in history that we live in. We have an invitation. You guys, if you've received an invitation, you know that when there's an invitation, there's always on the card that you get what, when, where, why, if it costs, you know, how much is the cost? It gives you the information that you need to make a decision. You're like, oh, wow, this is in Sacramento, California. I can't make that. Or, ooh, this costs that much. We can't do that. You can make a decision based upon the information that you have. Well, we have been given an open invitation to heaven. And he's explaining these things. Now, we're going to take some of our New Testament understanding and bring it into this. So we've got some foresight, hindsight, whatever you want to call it, that the Hebrews didn't have perfectly yet. But what he's trying to say is that old narrow religion is gone. And now the invitation is open. Today, we realize that the author is describing that with the new covenant, everyone's invited to come to Christ. And we're going to talk about the when, where, why, how much, those kinds of things today as they come up. It's an invitation, meaning you have been informed. The invitation is laid out, but you must accept because the invitation's there. So how will you respond? Verse 11, we read, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation." First thing we'll talk about is, when is the event? Christ came to fulfill the service of the high priest. He is the picture of the tabernacle. The tabernacle was the place that the sacrifices were made. It was the only place where God met with his people. You come here or I don't meet with you. And so we see the picture of Christ in all of that. But it says here that he was a high priest of the good things to come, meaning there are things to come. You know, there's coming a day when everything that we know as planet Earth right now is going to change. Good things are going to come. Now, maybe you think good things are coming now, the good things. This stuff pales in comparison. I'm talking about good things that there is no sorrow. There is no disappointment. There is no sin. They're not those who hurt others. They're not liars. I mean, good things are coming. There's coming a day when everything will change, and we're going to talk about those things. First thing we're looking for is something called the rapture. That is where Christ is going to call those who believe in him, his church, out of this world. We read about that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And we're going to project all these scriptures. There are a lot of them, so you can read with us, or you can turn there if you want to. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. He says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep," or literally died, "lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." So what had happened is, when Jesus first raised from the dead and then went and ascended to the Father, they were thinking, okay, he's coming back in a few days, you know, he's coming back as soon as, before I die, for sure. And so there was this expectation, Jesus is coming back. Well, some of them died. And they were wondering, are they going to miss it? Like, did they miss out now? And he says, look, let me comfort you. No, they did not miss out. They've got it even better, actually. We won't even precede them. They're already there. So what'll happen is one day he's going to call us home. When he does that, they're going to be there. He's going to collect them and transform their bodies, which are obviously still here and deposited here, transform their lowly bodies immediately, and catch we who are alive up after that, although you can't really tell because it's like the twinkling of an eye, all this happens like that. So who cares who's first, right? So then we go up and we're with him in the air, and he says, then we'll be with him forever. Now that is an amazing event to be part of. When? Well, we don't know. We know it could happen anytime. As far as scholars understand, and I'm no scholar, but I have studied myself what they have studied, and it seems that there's nothing left that has to happen prophetically before this catching away can take place. Just a matter of when God says, the last person is saved, boom. What I've heard a pastor say is, if you're that last person, give your life to the Lord now. So we can go. You're holding us back. So there's a rapture that's coming. But then the rapture is for a reason, because God has not appointed those who are his for wrath. So he calls us out. Lot is a good picture of this, by the way. There are several, but Lot would be the best picture, because Lot was far, 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 far from a good follower, right? We know that the angel had to rescue him from that horrible place. And yet the angel said, look, we can't destroy it until you're out of here, so let's go. And so Lot was pulled out. And that's a picture of God's calling those, and that he doesn't pour his wrath on his people. We are not destined for wrath. So there's the catching away so that God can begin to pour out his wrath. Now, the next thing that comes up is the tribulation. That's him pouring out his wrath. This isn't just, we're in a sinful world where bad things happen, catastrophes happen. No, this isn't that. This is deliberate. I'm pouring it out now. And it will be big, not little hailstones. We survived the hailstone stuff, but I picked up a hailstone. It wasn't 100 pounds. And yet, you read in Revelation, and it's just mentioned, it's not even the big judgment, but it's just mentioned that there will be 100-pound hailstones. Now, I saw how much destruction the little baseball-sized ones did, and it looked like a war zone in our area. But I can't imagine this. It'll look like a nuclear bomb went off, because we had one hailstone that actually went through the vent on our shed, and it's metal. It went through, it pierced it and went into the shed. So I can imagine these 100-pound hailstones are just going to explode the house on impact. This is not going to be fun. There will be no safe place. But that's the tribulation. Hey, if you want to live through that, that's up to you. It's your call. God has issued an invitation. You don't have to go through that. You can, one, depending on when it is, I will take you to be with me through the natural process, death one day, and you can be with me. Or one day I'll rapture when the time comes that I have not appointed you to that. So it's up to you. I'm not going to force anybody, but here's what we read about it. Tribulation in Matthew 24:21, it says, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be." In other words, it will be so bad in that time, something that bad will never happen again.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. God, during the flood, he said that he would not judge the earth by flood. He didn't say he would never judge the earth again. He said, I'm not going to pour out water. So now we're going to get hail, fire, and everything else that isn't water in those last days. So that's the tribulation. That's a 7-year period of time. The first 3.5 will seem like peace, because a man of peace will come in and try to make global peace. But after that, about the 3.5-year mark, all hell will break loose on earth as he's identified he's not the guy we thought he was. And he will reveal himself. He will set himself up to be one, to be exalted, lifted up, worshiped. The judgment of God will be poured out big time in those days. Right after that 7-year period, there is the second coming of Christ. He came once, and that was to bring peace, to issue an invitation, to pay the cost. But the second time he comes, it'll be different. It says in Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 through 30, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Oh, the first time, a baby, approachable. The first time, riding the donkey. Right? That's, oh, look, the Messiah. He's cute. Coming into town, crying even, because of he knows that everyone's going to turn their back on him. The second time, we'll talk a little bit more about it, I think, next week, but in power, he says, in great glory. Not just sitting there riding in, hey, Messiah. No, there's going to be fear in that day. Because most of the people who will be alive at that time, because of the great persecution against those who put their faith in Christ, most of them, I don't know necessarily all of them. I know there will be the 144,000 that are preserved, but many of them, many, 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 many will have been killed. So many who are alive at that time will put themselves against God. And so the judgment will come upon them and it'll be swift. It won't be a long drawn out battle. So the second coming, then after that second coming, he comes to establish his kingdom because he promised he would. He promised Israel. The Lord promised Israel, I'm going to establish, and this king is going to rule and reign in Israel from Jerusalem. So they have to still be here. So he's going to establish himself here for 1,000 years. And we'll rule and reign with him, those who are caught up to heaven, and even those who died on the earth, we'll get to rule and reign with him. Here's where we read about the millennium. It's the 1,000-year period or the 1,000-year reign. Some will say they've never heard of the millennium and the Bible doesn't talk about the millennium. It's true the word millennium is not in the Bible, but the 1,000-year reign is. And so that's what we call the millennium. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Those were the ones who were killed during the tribulation period. So there will be believers that come out of that, a great number of believers, I believe. Till the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Yes. Second death. They'll have no part in the second death. I thought one death was bad enough. The first one is much better. You don't want any part of the second one. It's been said, you've got to have either two births or you'll have two deaths. One birth, two deaths. You're born of your mom. You're born of your parents. You're going to die physically, and then you're going to die spiritually. But if you're born twice, and this is where the terminology comes, born again. If you're born again by the Spirit of God, then you only face death once. In fact, not everyone will actually face that physical death because of the rapture. And some Old Testament pictures that we see of God's grace avoiding the physical death. So that's the millennium. It'll be a great time where the lion lays down with the lamb. A child can sit next to a viper's den and no one will be harmed. Some are more concerned about the children. Some are more concerned about the vipers during that time. But they will not harm each other. After the millennium, though, there's a final separation. Something that stood out to me. It says that he binds him for 1,000 years and then releases him. He must be released for a short period of time. And I thought, why? Now, I'm not God. You know, it's not like my plans are better, but it really does not make sense to moi. And he didn't go, well, didn't let me bless you with that knowledge, so I don't have it for you. But here's one thing that seems true. We are excuse makers. You don't have to amen, you don't have to say yes or here I am, but we are. And if we can put blame somewhere else, we will. Like, if you would have done a better job, if you would have done this, if you would have done that, Lord. It seems that this is going to be a totally different period of time because there are resurrected people walking the earth. That's not going on right now, not that we can see. Right now, it's by faith. We can't even see Jesus except that we believe in him and we see the effects of his existence here on the earth. But in that day, we'll see him and we'll see others. Well, we'll see each other resurrected. You are looking good today. You look good every day. It's a millennium. So we'll be looking good, but there will still be people, humans, integrated. We'll be ruling and reigning. Now, that's a different period of time. We think, well, how could that ever? We could never accept that. Don't tell me that. I see some of the commercials for movies that we'll accept. Clones or whatever it is, robots taking over the world, and now we're the only ones left. Yeah, we know something like that can happen. It will, but it'll be those who are righteous, judging the earth, ruling and reigning, and then man mixed with them. It's going to be a weird time. And so for those who said, if you would have just revealed yourself, then all men would have been saved. Well, this millennium and this final releasing of Satan to deceive is going to prove them wrong. No matter what, you had a perfect garden, and you fell. You had the opportunity to raise up godly offspring, and you failed. You, without seeing Christ, you could put your faith in God with his power showing. I showed you power, and you still failed. Then Christ was there, and it was by faith. And I did some amazing things in your heart. I wrote my law on the tablet of your heart. You still failed. And many turned their back and didn't want to have anything to do with me. And even though my son was sitting there in your midst, you still turned your back. So we will go, well, without excuse. You did everything. Mostly you gave your son to die for us when we couldn't save ourselves. So for whatever reason, Satan will be released, and he must be for a time, a short time. But then there's the final separation we read about in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades were delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What was the criteria for being thrown in? Was it like, well, they committed adultery? There, that was the line. What sin did he name? He didn't name any sin. They were all guilty of sins, different sins. He said the one thing that got them cast into the lake of fire was their name was not written in the book of life. They had never believed in Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's the one thing that separates in the end. These are some of the good things to come, though. Sin will be judged. All that was evil will be done away with. And there will be beautiful things. Talks about a new heavens and new earth. Why would there be a new heavens and a new earth? I mean, isn't the one he's in now good? Well, Satan has had access to the throne of God. You know that, right? Satan is not really concerned with you personally. Now, there's demons. They may be after you. You know, they're issued out, and they're kind of trying to do all of their dastardly deeds. But Satan himself, like, Satan, I bind you. He doesn't hear you. He's not anywhere around you. He is more concerned with Israel, and he stands up there as the accuser before the Lord. During that tribulation period, that's when he's cast down finally. He will no longer have access to the throne of God, and he'll be cast down, and he knows he has a short time. So he's going to run amok. He's going to deceive, and it's going to be a real bad time. But right now, he has some access to the throne. So since that's the case, it's defiled. God is going to, in the end, after all this is done away and sin is dealt with finally, he's going to make an undefiled, perfect, brand spanking new heaven and earth. We read about it in Revelation 21, 1 through 4. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.
There's so much more to learn from Pastor Troy's verse-by-verse study through Hebrews, but this is where we need to close for today. We hope you've been blessed and encouraged in your own walk of faith as you listen to Building on the Solid Rock today. If you have any prayer requests you'd like us to lift up to the Lord, we'd be honored to hear from you. Send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program or about what you heard today. We'll do our best to answer. Being part of a church family is vital to your growth as a Christian. We'd like to encourage you to find and begin attending a local community of faith if you haven't already. If you're in the San Antonio area, why not come by Calvary Chapel Solid Rock? We meet every Sunday and Wednesday, and you'll find more information at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope you'll join us again right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
The light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come.